Thank you, choir. God is with you. We are well trained. I saw some of you thinking, are we skipping straight to communion? Is she confused? No, I'm still delivering a sermon, but it's going to be about communion, specifically the liturgy of communion known as the Great Thanksgiving, since we are in a sermon series about Thanksgiving. That's the part that begins, God is with you. Thanks, yeah. Communion, the Lord's Supper, the Eucharist. Let's start by taking a wide view of this tradition within the Christian church. We'll look at what each of the gospel accounts has to say and then end with our scripture from Paul's letter to the church in Corinth. Again, it's going to sound like I'm making a communion invitation several minutes early in our service, but I assure you that's still coming. I'm not trying to steal your thunder, Susan. It's widely agreed upon by biblical scholars that Matthew and Luke took much of their content from Mark, believed to be the first of the gospel accounts. All three of them describe the scene something like this. While they were sharing the Passover meal, Jesus took bread, blessed it, broke it, and gave it to the disciples, saying, "Take and eat, this is my body." And he took a cup, and after giving thanks, he gave it to them, saying, "This is the cup of the new covenant in my blood, which is poured out for the forgiveness of sins. I will not drink of it from now on until I drink it new with you in the kingdom of God." That pretty succinctly portrays the synoptic gospel accounts. The synoptic gospels are Matthew, Mark, and Luke. John doesn't have this story, but in John's account, shortly after the miraculous feeding of the 5,000, Jesus tells a crowd who has come to him for more food that he is the bread of life. He says, "Your ancestors ate manna in the wilderness, yet they died. But here is the bread that comes down from heaven, which anyone may eat and not die. I am the living bread that came down from heaven. Whoever eats this bread will live forever. This bread is my flesh, which I will give for the life of the world." And finally, this distilled into what Paul says in Corinthians, our scripture for today. "For I received from the Lord what I also handed on to you, that the Lord Jesus, on the night when he was betrayed, took a loaf of bread, and when he had given thanks, he broke it and said, 'This is my body that is for you. Do this in remembrance of me.' In the same way, he took a cup also after supper, saying, 'This cup is the new covenant in my blood. Do this as often as you drink it in remembrance of me. For as often as you eat this bread and drink the cup, you proclaim the Lord's death until he comes.'" Well, this is something, isn't it? What in the world are we doing and why? We come each week to this table that we believe Jesus Christ prepared for us and invites us to. Let's begin with "in remembrance of me." Lawrence Hull Stuckey, from whom I gathered a lot of my information in preparation for this sermon, he says, "We have become passive and cerebral, often thinking primarily about the historical ministry of Jesus. But the intention of Paul is that we actively participate, and in participation, experience anew for ourselves the presence of the living Christ among us." We're not supposed to only think about Jesus' last meal with his friends, but enter into it. The Greek word anamnesis is commonly translated as remembrance. However, this often brings to mind for us recount, recall, think about. That's not strong enough for what anamnesis really means. As Stuckey articulated, it's not just thinking about, it's participation in. do this. It's something that connects us to the past when Jesus actually ate with his disciples, but it's even more than that. It also connects us to the future that Jesus alluded to in the gospel accounts when he would drink it new with them and us in the kingdom of God. At the table, we join Jesus outside of time. We get to have an experience of eternity where all God's children are welcomed, forgiven, fed, and loved. That is what we proclaim and celebrate when we join together at the communion table. Stepping outside of time to God's view, Jesus is at the Passover table with his friends. We are here among our friends. We are all together in the kingdom of God. It's all at once when we meet here, at this particular communion table, at this particular time, in this particular community. We are here and we are there. Jesus is there and Jesus is here. Communion engages our senses. We can taste the goodness of God's grace. These symbols of bread and wine or juice transport us from here to the kingdom of God. So now that we know why we come to the table, let's examine each of the pieces of our communion liturgy. God is with you. Thank you. That's good. That's where we begin, and Susan will lead us through the rest in just a bit. After having looked at what it means to participate, this piece makes sense, doesn't it? God is with us, here, now. And we lift up our hearts to God, knowing that it is a good and joyful thing to do. I love that language. In many mainline churches, that response is, "It is right to give our thanks and praise." And I find no fault in that language, certainly, but I much prefer ours, that it is a good and joyful thing to do. Just last week, I looked over at my son Levi, snuggled up on his dad's lap. Levi was reciting the words with the whole congregation. And when it got to these words, Sergio nuzzled his nose into Levi's neck, and they both giggled and said, "It is a good and joyful thing to do." Yes, joyful. Stepping outside of time for a few minutes each week to commune with Christ, what could be more joyful and good? From there, our presider offers us a personal invitation to the table of the Lord. This is something unique about our denomination and church as well. Many traditions have prescribed words, and they are carefully considered and beautifully articulated. But I think they can sometimes be recited in such a way as to render them meaningless. One thing I've been learning in seminary is how to turn ink into blood. I'm not at Hogwarts, it's not magic, but follow me here. Ink into blood, the words written on the page need to come to life. When we invite our presiders to design their own invitations, we're asking them to bring their very life into the words to bless us as we prepare to share communion. And there is life in the words, and we are indeed blessed. I have so many memories of invitations made to us that describe individuals and their experience that we can connect to. Tom and his hamburger stand, where his order is always remembered. Al's grandmother faithfully taking her grandchildren to church every week. Carly's mother leaving a freezer full of food to feed her family after her death. These stories and all the others illustrate the kingdom of God, where we're known, cared for, and remembered. After these personal invitations, we join together in singing the prayer that Jesus taught, sometimes called the Lord's Prayer. If you'll allow me another moment to talk about my children, I recall when we were still worshiping in the other building across the parking lot. Naomi was probably 3, and Reverend Karen, I don't remember why she was, but for some reason, she was sitting in the back of the sanctuary, holding her first baby grandchild, Emma, And Naomi was drawn to the baby and stood by Karen and Emma and sang the words to the prayer that Jesus taught. Did she understand every word? Did she know what "Hallowed be thy name" meant? Or what it means to forgive us our debts as we forgive our debtors? Probably not. But here she was, among faithful followers of Jesus, learning and participating, growing up surrounded by Christian community. Do this. And after we finish singing the prayer, we proclaim the mystery of our faith. It is a mystery that we're all invited into to share with each other and wonder about. Christ is there. Christ is here. We are here and in the kingdom of God. The communion table unites us with Christians around the world and throughout time and with Jesus himself. It is a beautiful symbol of what we hope for all of humanity. When we were still worshiping virtually during the height of COVID, our family was talking about what we missed most about church. Naomi's answer was the delicious communion. Now, keep in mind that she was regularly eating cookies and drinking Gatorade for communion at home. I don't think she meant the wafers dipped in juice were more delicious than that. I think she intuitively knew that communion with you in this family of faith is something special, something to be savored, and she missed it. She missed joining with you in coming to the table, receiving the elements and a blessing. This delicious ritual we share every week that reminds us that in God's kingdom, all are welcome, all are forgiven, all are fed, all are loved. And while we remember and do this each week at the communion table, let us not forget that we can and should practice this in our everyday lives as well. Not necessarily the whole liturgy of communion, but any time we gather with friends, family, or strangers to eat and drink so as to sustain our human bodies, we are also strengthening the body of Christ, for we are the body of Christ. Jesus shared many meals with his disciples and with people of all kinds that society had decided were unworthy for one reason or another. Jesus showed them that they have great worth to God. Jesus shows us that we have great worth to God. We have much to be grateful for. Communion, community, love, grace. We get to encounter this every week, and that is why we call it the Great Thanksgiving. Amen.